The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Ed Smith, presenter of Ed's Songs of Praise at the weekend here on Today FM, and Jennifer Gannon are with us to talk television as we do this time every week. And I don't want this to sound as if we've been down on RTE, because I'm one of the people who believes very much in the licence fee and in the need for public service broadcasting along with private competition. However, what should we make of certain things like Dancing with the Stars producer Larry Bass saying RT is in jeopardy unless the licence fee increases? When the station is producing programmes such as Daniel and Magella going on a road trip, another programme with Senator David Norris leading a whole load of other celebrities, so-called celebrities, on a foreign holiday junket to North Africa, to having Bernard O'Shea, who used to do work with this programme and who I like, is a really nice fella, and Marty Morrissey, who also is personally one of the nicest people you'll meet. But why the hell are the two of them going off on a road trip together? What is the TV value in that, Jennifer?
None. It's not a rice cake. It's like, look, it's very unchallenging fodder that RTÉ makes up a lot of the RTÉ schedule. But I mean, I do think, before we, you know, you can say we're, you know, taking them to task, there is a place for everything, because when you look at UK TV and what the biggest shows are on prime time in UK TV, they're MasterChef, they're Bake Off, they're Strictly. They're untaxing shows that, you know, I mean, I guess Daniel and Magella's B&B Road Trip probably should be an early afternoon TV show in the same vein as, you know, the More Four, where they show Endless, Four in a Bed and Come Dine With Me. It doesn't really strike me as it has a should have a place in primetime. And I think this is the problem. They're not taking risks.
And if another one to add in, much as I like Dermot Bannon, who is, again, a lovely fella, Dermot Bannon going off, you know, sort of getting excited about looking at architecture all over the world, that's a 9:30 on a Sunday evening programme.
But Grand Designs is massive for Channel 4, and it's shown at that kind of
and
around the
to
same
improve
slot.
Is huge. So, I mean, RT
Room to Improve is very good,
it's fine. I mean, I think these things live on Twitter as well. So, I mean, the amount of publicity they get from people complaining or enjoying these shows. But I think what the figures speak for themselves, like you're talking 500,000 viewers for Dancing with the Stars, and Larry Bass, very timely and smart on his part.
And congratulations to
and
Ray
congratulations
for winning,
to our own,
given that you worked here for so many years.
Our own Moray. But I think Larry Bass is being quite political here, very kind of, I think, incendiary in a certain regard, just on the back of the success of Dancing with the Stars, to come out straight away and going, well, we mightn't be back next year.
Emotional blackmail.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we don't know.
How much does it cost?
It's $3 million for the series.
Does it take that in advertising?
I would imagine it does. Well, considering 500,000. But I think a lot of that goes in. I think each of the contestants gets about 3,000 a week. But he says the majority of the budget goes on accommodation, which is quite
weird.
Strange considering they could have got that, I would have thought, contra. But anyway.
Also, I think he's just being unbelievably cheeky when he said, you know, do we want to see Irish faces on screen, or are we all happy looking at the UK TV and Netflix? I mean, when RTÉ produces something that's at the genius standard of Fleabag or as groundbreaking as Russian Doll, that'll be a different story. They're not living up to their potential.
But RTÉ are competing with Rock and Hard Place. They are semi-commercial, so they have the kind of public service remit to adhere to, but then they've got commercial realities as well.
Oh,
so
indeed.
They
but
fall
Pat,
between the two stools.
Pat Stacey wrote a really interesting piece yesterday for The Herald. It's on the independent.ie website as well. And he coined a phrase, what he says, the 13%ers. He says this is a percentage of the population, about 580,000 people, who seem happy to watch nothing but RT1, irrespective of what's on. They just don't move the channel from it.
Those heritage viewers are going to die out, and that's the problem. And they're not inheriting viewers because they're not challenging themselves. I mean, at this very time, we're living in an Ireland that, when it comes to writing, we have people like Sally Rooney dominating the world, and you have Emer McBride, who's just so well loved by, you know, the literary community. And it's like, where are those dramatic adaptations? Where is, like, Emer McBride's Fleabag? Like, why wasn't Aislinn B given a stand-up special before she headed to the UK? In the US, like, if RTÉ, if they're serious about this, if they're, you know, and they want people to pay for the license fee, they have to offer people something. And if they're not willing to go out and find this new talent and find these people, and they're happy and content to churn out the same stuff that they're doing day in, day out, that's the results that they'll get. Suppose,
and we will, in time, we will offer RTÉ an opportunity to send a representative in to talk about all these things, but I think it's fair for you to talk about it as our weekly TV reviewers here. But the issue again is, I think, Ed, that if they were just a purely commercial operation, you could understand market forces dictating why they make the programmes that they do. But they're in the thing of dual funding. That not only do they have a license
fee,
they have a and that does have, and because I declare an interest, I do work for Virgin Media One, but it does queer the pitch. And actually doesn't just queer the pitch for other television programmes, it queers the pitch in advertising for radio and for newspapers and all other forms of advertising.
Well, I think that the figures speak for themselves. So, for example, you're not going to mess with Room to Improve or any of those kind of so-called comfort Sunday evening shows. If they're pulling the figures, you go to your advertisers, like we know full well from our own experience here in Today FM, you go to your agencies, you go, how many figures did that show get? Well, it got 500,000. Well, we're going to charge you accordingly. They don't have the luxury of, say, the BBC or whatnot, to put out an obscure, kind of more specialist TV programme, which is unfortunate, because they do have that remit. But what I'm saying is, that from their point of view, at one hand, they're given out to for wasting all the money and not earning, and they're running at a loss. So then at the same time, you're asking them as an organisation to run at a further loss by taking in less advertising to make more specialised programming. And that is the situation they find themselves in.
But what they need is balance. For every, you know, massive ratings puller, you need that prestige TV to get people interested. People will
To justify the fact that they get a licence fee.
Yeah.
That they're doing the stuff that wouldn't otherwise be done on commercial television.
Exactly. We don't want to see, like, another cooking show or another panel show
and
with the same.
Why is Bernard
comedians.
O'Shea and Marty Morrissey going on a road trip?
Because it sounds irreverent. Because they're trying to move into that market where you have the real Marigold Hotel that's on BBC. But that's at a time, you know, a night. It's in the nighttime viewer. It's not prime time. And I think that's really important that they don't, they're not really, like, they do great documentaries. There's actually a brilliant documentary about youth subcultures on the other night on RTÉ.
Tribes was really good.
And I think that's where their, you know, talents lie. They, no one's saying that they don't put out good programming, but it's just not enough. And it seems on the end of things, the drama end of things or the comedy end of things, they're not really sticking their neck out there. I mean, at the moment, we have, I've said this before, amazing theatre going on in Ireland and such talented writers. Why don't they, you know, that would jump at the chance to write something for RTÉ? And it doesn't have to be a massive budget. It never does.
No, I don't
think
so.
You know, there's ways and means around it.
Yeah, and I suppose people are also pointing out as well, you know, and this goes back, this is the modern version of Father Ted. Derry Girls hasn't been made by RTÉ. Mm-hmm. And even if you talk about the name escapes me, the great Cork one that's been on the last couple of years.
Oh, Young Offenders.
Young Offenders. RTÉ can't claim that. I think they were in for 10% of the BBC budget on
whatever the opposite of a Midas touch is, RTÉ have had it with comedy over the years. And I think things have to flee the country, as is so often the case with our great writers and comedians and actors to a certain degree. So traditionally, there's never been a golden period for RTÉ. I think it's always struggled to break free from its very conservative, I suppose, structure. You know, politically, culturally, it's a very, you know, conservative company as it is, you know, and I think that as an outlet for the state as well, it's always, to my mind, as I've said, fallen between two stools. And I think,
okay, do you know what we should do? We should hear a little bit of Daniel and Magella on the road. This is when they've gone to the United States now for their new road trip, having, I suppose, gone through all the B&Bs in Ireland.
In September 2018, I got the chance to do something I've always dreamed of doing.
You work and work for years and years. You're always on the go.
We headed off for a road trip across the American Midwest.
Oh, they're not beeping at me, are they? Oh, my God, Daniel. We are on the road.
We really were on the road. And it was very different to the roads at home. With over 4,000 miles between us and our destination, the highways stretched for miles with everything from bikers to 18-wheelers on the open road.
Oh my God, there's cars everywhere all around me, coming at me left and right.
Stay where you are, you're all right. Oh, jeez, where did he come out
from? I don't know.
My goodness.
What state is Chicago in?
That's Illinois. The name Illinois comes from a Native American word meaning tribe of superior men. But imagine now, I'm here.
We are on an American road in an RV. Can you believe it?
Be alert.
Wow. So that happened. I think if you compare RTÉ, say, for example, to Today FM, you know that if we were to play, we were completely funded by the state, we would have every opportunity to play Tom Waits and Leonard Cohen and obscure Irish, you know, Irish acts during the day. But the reality of the situation is, if we did, we'd lose listeners. If we lose listeners, we'd lose advertising money, and then we go out of business.
But if you don't take risks, if they had never, you know, produced Love Hate, if they'd never even tried, what would happen? You know what I mean? Like, they need, like, the point is, Phoebe Waller-Bridge was given a chance to do Fleabag on BBC Three. She proved her worth there because people, critically, it was so acclaimed and it got an audience. It moved to BBC One. Then they also gave her the chance to write drama as well, as someone who's a comic writer. They gave her the opportunities and the audience is there. This has been proved time and time again. If you're not going to do that, if you're not going to even try, how can you progress?
I mean, Daniel and Magella are actually very nice people, but that script they were working to, or whatever, the editing of their conversation,
dreadful.
Not exactly cutting edge, is it?
No.
There's a way of even doing that safe television that has a bit of an edge and a bit of sense of humour to it. I think it's, you know, they've RT are well known for, if they hit one success, they'll ring it to death for the next couple of years, even with their stars. You know, sometimes they'll look upon someone with a bit of talent. You'll see them on every single TV show, radio show and advertising for the next 2 or 3 years until they worn them out, until we're sick of them, until they, you know, that's just the way they're, they need, it's almost like it's a political, almost cultural sea change that they need to go through first, and how they approach, and as Jen says, take more risks. But I can, not that I'm defending them, but I can almost understand their reticence to do so.
Okay, so we've got lots of other things so we need to talk to Jennifer Gannon and Ed Smith about. The Apple streaming content, will it rival Netflix? I know Andy O'Donoghue, who was talking to Carl about it here yesterday, but as TV viewers, do we need another streaming service?
No.
They've got Oprah, so they've got me. I'm sorry.
No, I think just from the outset, it seems like with Jennifer Aniston, Reese Witherspoon, Steven Spielberg and Oprah, it's really not going to rattle the cages of Netflix. I think from the opening optics of this, it seems a little bit safe. And Netflix really has cornered the market. Well, not cornered it, owns the market really in some of the more edgy kind of progressive television out there. Apple maybe seems at this stage, early doors, have not seen it.
They're very late to the game.
Yeah.
They're very late to this game. And I think, you know, they're not offering, like you're saying, they're not offering a huge difference to people as of yet. And I think it's just, there's too much choice anyway at the moment. And I think people are into the Netflix model. They're comfortable with it now. And also, curiously, when this was launched, they haven't actually set a price point. They haven't actually said how much this will cost you. So that's very strange.
And there's no licensed TV programs on this, like your Seinfelds, or they haven't bought any stuff in. It's all original content.
But if they have some stuff, I mean, I find I have the whole Sky platform, I have Netflix, I've recently invested in the Amazon Prime as well, because there always is something on some other platform you don't have that you want
to
see.
Get to the point, you've got Disney Plus coming out, you've got obviously Netflix, Amazon Prime, you've got BritBox, which we discussed, I think, recently on the show, that this is going to be the ITVs and the BBCs setting up a streaming service. So, but if you were to get everything, you're talking about maybe €150 a month.
And it's
really
it's a strange
ridiculous
choice for Steven Spielberg, though, because he's been so openly critical about the Netflix model.
A bit hypocritical of Steven.
And now he's joining up with Apple. But Apple, the thing about, they are the only rival to Netflix in one way, because they're the only ones that can match them with their endlessly deep pockets. Like, I mean, Apple are just, you know, worth a fortune. So I think they will put it up against Netflix when they get their feet under them. But at the moment, I don't think there's anything really to challenge Netflix. And Netflix are, you know, they're powering up for a year where they've got Martin Scorsese's new film, The Irishman, with, you know, Robert De Niro coming out.
Yeah.
They've nabbed showrunners like Shonda Rhimes and Ryan Murphy. So they don't really, they're not scared as of yet.
And the two shows that Apple have produced already, Carpool Karaoke and I think Planet of the Apps, absolutely flopped. So it hasn't been, I mean, early doors, as we say, and they have the money and maybe the talent at this stage, but it's going to take a couple of years at least.
It may be their title.
Yeah.
Okay, well, actually, Netflix, of course, has now been revealed, well, according to John Cleese, never returned his calls after a comedy pitch. I suppose, could it be that because John Cleese, formerly of Monty Python and of Fawlty Towers, did his best work so long ago? But let's remember, at this time of Brexit, John Cleese and Fawlty Towers, where he waits on some Germans.
Will you please call your wife immediately?
She's in the hospital, you silly girl!
Yes, call her there!
I can't! I've got too much to do. Listen, don't mention the war. I mentioned it once, but I think I got away with it all right. So, it's all forgotten now, and let's hear no more about it. So that's two egg mayonnaise, a prawn Goebbels, a Hermann Göring, and four colded salads. Oh, wait a minute, I got a bit confused here. Sorry, I got a bit confused because everyone keeps mentioning the war. So could you... What's the matter?
It's all right.
Is there something wrong?
Will you stop talking about the war?
Me? You started it?
We did not start it.
Yes, you did. You invaded Poland.
Still brilliant.
Still brilliant. And Fawlty Towers up there with the greatest comedy show of all time. And of course, his involvement in Monty Python, you know, the man's credentials are indisputable. But having said that, there's a bang of man shakes fist at cloud about this.
I literally was going to say that.
Well, sorry, I saw it written down, so I stole
it. Oh, you stole it from me.
You had it highlighted, Jen.
Here
you've
got
to learn.
Again.
It's a brutal world,
man, huh?
This TV
review. Stealing my best ideas.
Would you believe it? But anyway, John Cleese, so he pitched an idea back in December to Netflix and they didn't even reply to him or his, which is, to be fair, quite rude, to his agent, I should say. And this is not the first time. I think he tried to pitch an idea to ITV, was it? And they didn't bite. So he's now quite bitter about the whole thing and taking pot shots at the comedies and the comedians that they have platformed. And his time is done, you know, and he's done the state some service. But even just recently following him on Twitter, the man's not funny anymore.
I just think it's sad because he expected some kind of preferential treatment because of who he is. Mm. And I don't think he understands that with Netflix, their stand-up comedy roster is really just upcoming voices and newer comedians and comedians that are just becoming popular. And like he was criticising for rejecting the pitch, but also criticising, it seemed to be, Nicole Byer, who's a comedian in her own right. And he seemed to be kind of slagging her routine off. And it made for a really sad redundant argument. Like, it just sounded really mean-spirited and almost, well, I would say sexist. I don't think he'd be saying the same thing about like a Jack Whitehall routine or something like that.
Okay. Parks and Recreation, there may be a reunion. After what we've had to say about Arrested Development, is this another programme? Don't come back. Let it go. It's over.
I think just reading between the lines here from the producers and the actors in this, that it's very slim chances of this actually coming through.
So let's just kill the idea. Not,
I actually thought it was refreshing because Michael Schur, who created the show, said there was no value to it coming back, which I thought was great because he said, you know, at the very end of Parks and Rec, they do a flash forward like 6 feet under, but like a comic version of it. And he was saying, like, you know where the characters are going to end up, so how, you know, it doesn't matter how they get there. And I think that's really good because, and also he said they did their job. They did their job
they
with the show
it
itself.
Perfectly.
They said everything they wanted to say.
Exactly, yeah.
But your pick of the week, Ed, please.
Well, dark times require dark minds, and there's none darker than Frankie Boyle, to my mind. His New World Order is back this Friday, BBC Two at 10.
Do you find him funny?
I do, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, he's quite out there. I mean, he can't cross the line, but I think, with all the Brexit shenanigans and all the nonsense that's going on, I'd be very interested to hear his take on it. I think he can be very, very funny. I'm looking forward to it, actually.
That's on BBC Two, Friday night at 10 o'clock. Now, you have picked something, Jennifer, which I think lots of people are getting very excited about, the return of
season four,
I think, isn't it?
Five
of
Line of Duty. It's back. BBC One on Sunday, I think at 9. It could be 10. But it's time to get all anxious and tense of a Sunday night, even more so than usual. I just think Jed McCurrough, he just knows how to do tension and cliffhangers and twists and really gasp-inducing surprises. And, you know, he's better than most TV writers at that. And he's really spiced up the whole cop drama genre. And like, typically we don't know anything about the story and all of the actors are sworn to secrecy and they all get different scripts and it's a complete mystery to them, but it's business as usual in the trailer. Stephen Graham is in a balaclava toting a gun and having a scream, and you know, that's just what we want from bent coppers.
If it ain't broke,
that's it.
Exactly.
Don't bend it even more.
Okay, we're going to leave it there. Thank you very much, Jennifer Gannon and Ed Smith, for joining us for our weekly television chat.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.